Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ray and Tay Today.
Hi.
Hey, hey, everybody. It's Ray. That's Tall Rayside.
And it's Tay Eric Taylor, a.k.a. E-Complete, a.k.a. Big E. What's up, Ray?
Can I just say you got a lot of bass in your voice there. You know, none of that banana in the tailpipe stuff. You got some bass.
Yeah, no. It's a good, you know what it is? It's called not sleeping last night because my three-year-old son sent me to the guest room because he wanted to sleep in the bed with mommy without daddy.
No.
Now, that's the real.
He ejected you?
I'm exhausted, but... Hey, man, he jacked me. He was like, Daddy, no, you sleep in the guest room or go sleep with Grandma. I was like, no, come on. But basically I didn't sleep last night, but that's okay. You know what I'm saying? Because I was watching Raul Ibanez, baby. Let's go Bronx Bombers. Yo, how clutch is that?
Mr. October, at least for one night. Pinch hit homer in the ninth, and then the RBI single in the 12th. But let's jump in,
let me just say, listen, hit us up. Obviously, you could, you know, hit us up with the Gmail, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. And, yo, get your tweets at us, man. It's RAEANDTAYTODAY, rayandtaytoday@Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We've been getting your emails. We'll definitely read some on the show later on. And, you know, get involved. Hit us up on – hit them digits. You want to call in, player, 718-664-9098. Ray, let them know what we're doing today.
Yeah, we got a good show for you today. So we're going to talk about some breaking news like we always do. We try to bring you the latest and greatest. We're going to talk a little bit about the Monday Night Football game, that disaster in Dallas. And we're going to do a quick preview of the Thursday game coming up. And then we're going to shift to Major League Baseball. So we've got the pennant races almost clear. We've got the playoff picture going to be determined today in the American
League. Last day of the season.
And we got a triple crown potential. So we got a lot to talk about on the baseball front with the playoffs starting on Friday with the playing game and then on Saturday with the actual AL and NL DS's.
Yeah.
So let's jump into the breaking news.
Yeah, well, let's jump in. I'll start with the sad news. Antonio Holmes' foot is done, and he is done for the season, wide receiver for the Jets. And it's a shame, you know, obviously the MRI came back, and it's surgery, and he's out for the rest of the season. They signed wide receiver Jason Hill, who really did nothing for the Jaguars. And
is he related to
just
Randall Thrill Hill? Because remember Randall Hill from
you better
the
hope
Hurricane.
He is. Listen, if you're a Jets fan, you're ready to jump off the edge of your roof, apartment building, whatever. It's just disgusting. I mean, hey, Jason Hill, whatever. You know me. I'm like, sign plaque, sign T.O., give Chad a chance. Jason Hill, nothing. I fart on Jason Hill, sorry. Anyway, you know, pick up in fantasy Curly and Stephen Hill if need be. Maybe Dustin Keller will finally man up and come back to play. And the other news on the positive side, shout out to, because you know me and Ray are Tar Heel fans, shout out to my man Rasheed Wallace signing with our New York Knicks. Even though we wanted him in 04, it's a little late, but hey, he's the veteran. We're coming back out of retirement, playing the backup center, backup power forward. Tyson Chandler was like, hey, you know, we're happy to have Rasheed join the team. It's like, hey, it's like blue and cream. I'm happy. I know some folks that might not be, oh, he's too old, he's 201 and crying. Let me tell you something. Rasheed is better than Kenyon Martin for this team, and he's exactly what they needed, a nice little scoring power forward center off the bench. You know, 8 to 10 minutes a game. It's a long season, 82-game season. Plus, Chandler played in the Olympics, so, you know, cats have got some wear and tear. So I think it's a good move for the Knicks, along with, you know, Camby to, you know,
plus
have
Rasheed,
some rotation.
Plus, the other basketball news is that Dwight Howard practiced today. He said he's not, or yesterday, he said he's not going to be rushed back. But for all you Laker fans out there and basketball fans in general, you want to see folks healthy. So it looks like he is.
But it's still Kobe's
recovering
team, player. Don't forget, it's still Kobe's team.
Oh, I didn't forget. I didn't forget.
You told Craig Sager. That's a silly question. I love Kobe. That's a silly question. It's still my team. Come on.
But he's not selfish. But he's not selfish, right? Kobe said, I'm not selfish.
Nah, listen, it is Kobe's team, and Kobe's the man. But I think having Nash, having a real point guard, no disrespect to Derek Fisher, but just a point guard that can really pass and break cats down off the dribble, Steve Nash makes the game so much easier for everybody, including Kobe, and also eventually for Paul Gasol. I think Nash helps Gasol the most. But go ahead, man. Tell them the breaking news, the feel-good
story
that happened last night.
Yeah, there's a feel-good story out there. I don't know if you guys followed yesterday, but this kid named – he's younger than us, so he's a kid – named Adam Greenberg, the first pitch he saw in the majors in 2005, he got beamed in the head. He was with the Chicago Cubs, and he got beamed in the head by the Marlins, at the time the Florida Marlins. They had just won in 04, the Red Sox won in 04. In 03, they beat the Yankees, so, you know, I never had love for the Marlins. But he got beamed in the head by the Marlins, and apparently was misdiagnosed, and people didn't understand what he had, and he had severe concussions, and he had vertigo and dizziness. And so it took him 7 years to come back, and the team that beamed him, basically the Marlins, gave him a one-day contract so he could be a major league player again and face a major league pitcher. He happened to face R.A. Dickey, which is tough to hit that curve, to hit that knuckleball, but kudos to him, Adam Greenberg, for fighting and coming back. And kudos to the Marlins. You know, Larry Beinfest and Jeffrey Lurie and Ozzie Guillen for signing him and giving him that one-day contract, because this guy is not a charity case. I mean, he was a major league prospect. He wasn't a kid. He wasn't, you know, Billy Crystal, who did a movie and they decided to give him a few, you know, an at-bat. I mean, this guy was a major league player.
Or Garth Brooks with the Padres. it's a great story. And then also, Topps, the baseball cards, they're going to actually make an official baseball card for him for, you know, the one day in the Marlins uniform. So it's a great story all around, and it just makes you feel good. And sometimes you need that in this day and age in our society and our country. Now, look, let's just really move it on, because we got some baseball to talk about. But, hey, the Cowboys, Romo, 5 interceptions, only maybe 2 were really his fault. Dez Bryant, Ogletree, not running patterns, you know, balls bouncing off of them. But Tony Romo's a mess. I'm sorry, Cowboy fans, you will listen closely, bring your ears in. You will never win the Super Bowl with Tony Romo as your quarterback, period. And I got to give a special shout-out to my boy Bernard Jett, you know what I'm saying, from my cats up on Martha's Vineyard, who's a big Bears fan. And he was like, yo, I need some Bears love, yo, on Ray and Tate today. So I said, yo, the Bears defense, Jay Cutler, although he didn't help me win in fantasy because I needed that 300 yards. I got the 275. I needed one more touchdown or that 300-yard bonus. So, you know, I was hurt losing to my boy Sammy Decide Disciples. But I tell you, the Bears, they look
Brandon
good, man.
Brandon Marshall did me in, because I was up.
Yeah.
My Chicago Bears defense got me 30 points, but Brandon Marshall scores on that little pick play, that 31-yard touchdown, and I end up losing by 2 points. So coast-to-coast got me on that. But as a Cowboy fan, I got to tell you, man.
You don't run the ball enough. Give it to DeMarco Murray. That was disgusting. What your offense is.
They got discouraged.
What's your identity?
Jerry Jones, a great stadium. That's our identity.
Yeah, flash.
I don't know what
it's
is
flash.
On the football.
Listen, it's not even worth trying to talk about or analyze. Now let's focus on a real team, okay? The Arizona Cardinals. Woo-hoo!
Oh, stop.
Okay, 4-0. Go to the 2-2 Rams down St. Louis Thursday Night Football NFL Network. I mean. And looking at this game and previewing it, to me, it's rough after what the Cardinals went through in overtime Miami to go on the road, and they're 4-0, a game in their division. They could easily lose this game. I think somehow they find a way to pull it out. Listen, they had no running game last week, but if Ryan Williams and the other backup running back they have, whether it's Howling or the young kid Powell, if they could get it going, somewhat of a running game, and then they, you know, throw the rock to Michael Floyd, Fitzgerald, and now the new star, the fantasy star, hope you all picked him up, Andre Roberts, who was on
Roberts,
my bench last
boy.
Week. If I would have played him, I would have won,
yeah, if
but we won't
bench,
get into that. I'm going to play him this week. I'm going to play Roberts this week. But, you know, if Cobb can just keep it going, you know, not get turnovers, their defense is good enough that maybe they cause some trouble for Amendola, lock him down, and the Rams, who don't have a running game with Steven Jackson still banged up at the groin and Dow Richardson not being really all that, that maybe they pick off Sam Bradford, and I see them winning 27-20.
Really? So you
yeah,
think
I, you know,
the Arizona Cardinals, by the time I get to
Arizona.
Are going to go to 5-0.
Yeah, I think
words.
they might even keep going. They might keep going until they play the Niners on Monday night and wind up being 7-0. Shh, don't tell nobody. Because they play the Bills and Vikings after that.
I'll keep that between you and
don't
me.
Don't sleep,
but
baby.
I don't know. Well,
Larry
we'll get
Fitzgerald.
Into fantasy. Well, just remember this, folks. We'll get into fantasy on Friday like we always do. But if you got to adjust your roster for tomorrow, remember that obviously the Cardinals and the Rams are playing, but in week 5,
the bye weeks, yeah.
Dallas, Detroit, Oakland, and Tampa are on bye. So if you got any
yeah.
of those players, Megatron or Darren McFadden or, you know,
or Murray
Tampa,
or Bryant,
or
Romo.
Yeah, Romo, Murray, Vincent
Doug
Jackson,
Martin.
Dougie Fresh. You know, if you got any of those guys, remember to sit them down and you know, put in any Cardinals or Rams if you have to tonight. Maybe I'm just being contrarian here and hating on the Cardinals, but I got to think that the Rams pull it together at home.
You think the Rams could pull it out?
Yeah, I think so. Even though I keep knocking him, this kid Danny Amendola, man, he, you know, you remember him from Hard Knocks with the Cowboys, the first Hard Knocks they did. Sorry, son. We got to give you your play. You got to give us our playbook back. But he was that last cut, and then he ended up going on the on the practice squad and everything. But Amendola and Gibson, even though they don't scare anybody, you know, Sam Bradford finds a little bit of a rapport with them. He can move the ball. If they can get anything out of their running game, so similar to what you're saying about Arizona, right? They can control time of possession. They can hold the ball a little bit. You know, Jackson and Richardson. You know, between health issues and being a little ineffective, you're worried.
But they also got
Rams.
Some young speed. Don't forget about Chris Givens and Brian Quick. So they're starting to catch some bombs and did so last week. So it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be surprisingly a good game. And kudos to the NFC West, man. It's starting to get exciting again. And obviously Seattle and San Francisco. Hey, listen, right now all four teams in NFC West have good defenses. The one thing you can say about the Rams, I mean, you already know Seattle, San Francisco, and the Cardinals have proven they have good defenses. But quiet has kept Jeff Fisher and drafting Janoris Jenkins and some of the other moves and Finnegan coming over. They've got a nice little defense over there in St. Louis, player. St. Louis Rams got a nice little defense.
Yeah, that NFC West, you know, 2 years ago was the worst division in football, and now all of these teams are pretty solid. You know, the Niners are still the class of that league, even though they're 3-1 in second place. But the Cardinals, I think, will come back to life. I think Seattle is a plus or minus .500 team, but these aren't the doormats that they were, you know, 2 years ago. So this whole division went from, you know, worse to actually being very solid. Again, the only exceptional team there is to me is San Francisco in the long run. But I like the Rams. I like the Rams to pull it off tomorrow night. I think it'll be
Like how you like the Dolphins?
Well,
I got to mess with you, Ray. But listen, I got to give Ray a big shout-out because he's number one in the Ray and Tay Today Pigskin Pick'em. He's in first place, had a great week. You know, I did okay. I got to shout-out my older son, the 13-year-old Eliza, is in second place. And my little boy, the 3-year-old, he dropped off. You know, him and my mother each only picked 3 games right and 4 games right. But, shout out, you know, some other people, you know, my boy Jay Cheese, you know, Marchese, Mr. Marchese's making some moves. I see some other guys picking up. I don't know what's going on with Corey and Stacy and some other guys. But and our boy Andrew Ehrlich, you know, with his picks and Scott. But it's interesting to see, like, you know, just, you know, what's popping off. But Elijah's right on your tail. But you had a good week, and so did Big Hank. Hank had a big week.
Yeah, I had 11 this week. Hank had 12. He had the best week of them all.
Yeah, and then I noticed 10 victory, 10 picks right by Miss Act, Alana Taylor. She did her thing.
Okay, all right. Well, it's a long season. You know, I keep those bragging rights. But
I do have an email. And this is from John F. Might be someone I don't even know. John F. asked, would you start this week, you know, with having receivers on the bye? He's got two receivers, but who is he missing? He's missing, okay, Vincent Jackson is on the bye. So his bench receivers, he picked up Hartline, and he has Andre Roberts. Wow, okay. So as his third receiver, would you start Hartline or Andre Roberts this week? That's his fantasy question from John F.
Okay, now you love you some Roberts, right? That's your guy.
Well, listen, I think you can pass all over the Rams. RG3 showed that, even though their defense is up and coming, I think it could be a slugfest back and forth, and they're going to focus on Fitzgerald. Okay. So Roberts could have a good game, and with the Cardinals not having the greatest running game, they might pass him more. So Roberts, to me, is not a bad person to play. Now, Hartline, who the Dolphins
it's
are playing this week.
It's hard to go against a guy that was 12 for 253 last week, though, you know?
Right, but I forgot. Who are the Dolphins matched up against?
Dolphins are at Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's not a good or bad matchup. It's okay. You know, hey, listen, you want some excitement and fun. You're watching a Thursday night game. You get a head start. Maybe you put Roberts in, but, you know, I think Miami, Hartline, I'll take Roberts. I'm sure you're going to go
Hartline.
I'll
go with the sure thing because, you know, especially if you have anything like a PPR league, because if you get a point per reception like we do, or if you get a quarter point or a half a point, which really you should because I think it overstates receptions when you do a PPR, but I got overturned in our league. It's democracy.
The commissioner.
It's democracy. The commissioner got overturned, but got overruled. But I like Hartline's his guy. It looks like Hartline and Devon Best too, but Hartline is your boy Tannehill's guy. So he goes to him a lot.
Well,
and
right.
You know, coming off 12 for 253, you know, ride
and
it
listen,
out,
also
ride it
just,
out, maybe
you know,
get another week or two out of him.
Right, but also some other news: they released wide receiver Legadu Nane and picked up.
Who was their number one receiver going into the season?
Right, and they picked up wide receiver Jabbar Gaffney. Which is exactly who the Jets should have picked up instead of Jason Hill, but we won't even go there. Jabbar Gaffney is a good third receiver, and honestly, for the Jets, he could probably be their number one right now, but that's just a whole other thing. So anyway, but so Miami gets Jabbar Gaffney, which I think actually is going to really help them. You know, give him a week or two, and maybe you can pick him up on fantasy because I like Jabbar Gaffney. I think he's a solid receiver.
All right.
Well,
so
let's
take
Robert, a quick break.
You're picking the
So what was your Rams score? I'm sorry. Who with the Rams? Who what you got there?
I like the Rams 24-20.
Bugging.
Holding down
Bugging.
home
Bugging.
Turf.
Yo, that's that type of pick, I might have to kick you out of the 90s cab.
I would
treat you like Peter Skolnick and kick you out of the 90s cab. Shout out to my boy Chris Bengus in the 90s cab, you know what I'm saying? So you know, and my boy Pete knows because he's in the 80s cab, but, you know, we'll see. All right, we'll be right back at Ray and Tay today.
Kill it.
Yes,
we're
sir.
Back.
So, let's get into it, man.
The last day of the season. And
so,
we still have some really up-in-the-air playoff races in the American League.
Well, also, let's just shout out if the Yankees win, right, because the Rangers lost last night. the Yankees get the number one seed, correct?
Correct. So if the Yankees win, they win the AL East, best record in the American League, and home field throughout until they get to, obviously, the World Series, which is, who won the All-Star game? I forgot. The National League?
National League.
Yeah, National League. So they'd have home field. You know,
I think it was like
7-0.
They smacked them up.
ALCS, ALDS. So that's in the case that the Yankees win. Now, if the Yankees lose and Baltimore wins, and they both play around 7 Eastern, then those two teams would play on Thursday.
Yeah.
A one-game playoff between those two. So that's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Then you go to Oakland and Texas, who are in a dead tie at 93 and 68, playing each other momentarily. And that team right there, they're in the bottom of the first now, 0-0. But that team, the winner wins the AL West, and then the loser has to play in that one-game playoff, either against the Yankees or against the Orioles. So crazy.
But what's interesting,
baseball.
This is what's interesting. Let's say Yankees win and Orioles win. There still could be.
If the Yankees win and the Orioles win.
I was going to say, so then basically the Orioles would host the loser in the one-game wild card. But if the Orioles lose, then there's a tie.
Orioles...
So who will get home field between the loser of that game? If the Orioles are tied with the loser of Oakland and Texas, that's what's interesting. Who's going to host the wild card game?
Right. Well, we got to look into that, because I don't know how the tiebreakers work with the AL East and the AL West teams, but I could look that up. We can certainly figure that out. But one game playoff. We could even have a one game playoff with the Yankees and Orioles to determine winner and who gets into the wild card, or that one game playoff, and then another one game playoff on Friday. So theoretically, the Yankees Orioles could be the Yankees Orioles could play tomorrow and Friday in basically a one-game for seeding and then a one-game elimination game. Crazy.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do 2 one-game playoffs. They're not going to do that.
No, they are. They would. They said that if the Yankees lose and the Orioles win, then the Yankees and the Orioles play on Thursday to determine who wins and who comes in second. And then the team that comes in second then would go on and play on Friday, the loser of Oakland, Texas. So it just ruins your rotation, though, to end up having to play on Thursday
Friday. Kuroda going tonight?
Yeah, did you hear what he said? I don't know if you heard this, but he had a comment, and I don't even know how they asked him the question. So, you know, maybe got lost in translation to Japanese. But they asked him something about, you know, do you like playing baseball or something like that? And he said, no, I don't like playing baseball. It's my job and I do it. I'm paraphrasing here, but he said it's my job and I do it because I want to, you know, do a good job, and it's a lot of pressure, but I don't inherently enjoy the game. And he said it's not because I'm a Yankee. He said it's been like this my whole career.
It's fascinating, though, honestly. There are always, in every sport, some athletes who do not – they are at the major league level, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, whatever. They don't follow the game and they don't love it, don't know the history, but they're great at it. And I find that to be – it's not so many cats, but there's always those rare cats – and it's so fascinating to me, because growing up, I mean, you know, you could cut off my pinky toe to play in the NFL, NBA, or Major League Baseball. I would love it, you know what I mean? And so I just find it fascinating for these cats that, you know, they're like, it's okay. I make a good
and there
living,
might be
you know?
A cultural thing too, because in Japan, you know, there were words that he was using like, you know, I feel an obligation and it's my job and it's my duty and it's whatever. So it may be how they grew up, you know, not really loving the game but being really, really good at it, which to me is odd, right? I guess it's possible, but usually you're really good at things that you love and things that you take an interest in, but it sounds like he doesn't have the love for baseball, and it's not a guy who's, you know, 40 years old who's had a
You ain't got the love, Craig? You ain't got the love?
No.
You know what
I'm saying? No, my brother.
Oh, man, Friday, one of the funniest movies ever. Shout out to Ice Cube, man. But and Chris Tucker. But, you know,
put Chris Tucker on the map.
No, man, crazy. That movie is ridiculous.
Zeebo, right? We got Debo, and then we got Zeebo in the NBA because of that movie.
Yeah, man.
Zach
well,
Randolph
listen, he's in the Coors Light commercials with Ice Cube now, you know, fighting cold cans of Coors Light. But we won't even get into that. Now, let's just talk about the National League, though. That's all wrapped up. St. Louis got it.
It's all wrapped up except for one item, which is between Washington and Cincinnati, who's going to have the best record in the National League. But other than that, yeah, the seedings are and the divisions are locked up. So Washington won, Cincinnati won, and San Francisco
Dodgers.
Won. And then,
so
it's Atlanta and St. Louis basically playing in that one game.
I wonder, do the Dodgers blow this team up? I mean, they spent all this money. Do they just, you know, try to get a little bit more pitching and move forward next year?
I don't think so.
Up on all the guys you got.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think
they probably just need another pitcher.
Yeah, and I don't know how you move those contracts, right? And the biggest one you can't move is Carl Crawford, right? $20 million a year for the next 5 years or so. So Carl Crawford's your problem, especially because he's got that.
But their pitching failed them. I mean, that's what they need. It's not like their batters, they didn't do so great either, but they need some pitching. The Dodgers need pitching.
Yeah, Clayton Kershaw is you know, Cy Young material every year, but then I got a little bit of a drop off with Billingsley and Chris Capuano and all those guys. But they have talent, right? And if they're willing to spend, I don't know. I think you let this ride out another year. You hope that the chemistry works a little bit better on offense, that maybe they pick up a pitcher. Like they had Hideki Kuroda last year, which made a big difference. So maybe you can get a free agent pitcher and slide everybody down one notch behind Kershaw as your, you know, all-world number one starter. So I think they're fine. I think just give it time. I mean, at the end of the day, they won 85 games, which, you know, is a little bit underachieving for them. But with this new roster, give Mattingly and this new team a full year, and then I think they'll be back in the playoff mix next year.
Yeah, so let's talk about what we do know so far. St. Louis, one-game playoff at Atlanta. What are you thinking?
Woo!
You know, there's something. I hate to say it, but there's something magical about those Cardinals, man.
St. Louis
is incredible.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Last year, and even the year they won the World Series, they won the World Series, right?
Well, last year they won it.
Well, yeah. But the first year they won the World Series in the Albert Pujols era, they had won 100 games, over 100 games the two seasons before. But in those seasons, they didn't make the playoffs. Or they didn't they didn't win the World Series. And then in 08, they go out and win 83 games and win the World Series.
Yeah.
And then they come back, and last year, you know,
make the playoffs on the last day of the season.
On the last day of the season, the Phillies collapse, and, you know, they get these unbelievable performances. It's not even like Pujols carried them, right? It was like these unbelievable performances, and the Texas Rangers had them by the throat, and then Cruz has that ball hit over his head that he should have gotten. So it seems like, and Freeze, everything went right for them.
Freeze.
So to
but you
me,
know what's deep about it? To lose La Russa and Pujols, you know, your best player and your manager.
All-world manager, yeah.
All-world manager who's been there forever, and they don't, I don't want to say they don't miss a beat, but they come right back and make it in. I don't know if it's destiny or whatever, but I will say this. The Braves are tough. They definitely play better at home. I don't know. For some reason, I'm going to go with St. Louis. It's one game. Obviously, we'll have to wait to see the pitching matchups. Now, obviously, looking in the divisional games, we still have to figure that out. But, in you know, the number one will be waiting for the winner of the wild card.
Right.
So let's say Cincinnati.
San Francisco is going to go either to Washington or Cincinnati. That's
right.
Going to be a
so,
great matchup.
Yeah, the Giants. I think the Giants definitely want to see Washington. I don't think they want to see Cincinnati.
Yeah, they got a lot of offense in Cincinnati, plus the pitching, plus Chapman.
Yeah, I think right now you're like, hey, they don't have their number one guy anymore. Even though Washington's still been playing good. If I'm San Francisco, and did you see my man last night, the National League MVP, Buster Posey, doing it. Wow, his home
run
was clutch.
Yeah, he's an MVP. That's Buster, especially playing what it is right now, especially playing the catcher position, you know, and especially coming off that gruesome leg injury. And
what a way to come back.
Yeah, I mean, you could even say Yadier Molina's had a great year too, because I definitely give a premium to catchers because it's just the wear and tear it takes on your body. But, yeah, Buster Posey needs to get that MVP hands down. You know, Ryan Braun, we talked about this before. Forget about, you know, all this notion of steroids and whatever.
But his team didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And
his team
stats,
didn't do anything.
His homers are meaningless. I don't even want to – he shouldn't even be in the running. It should be between Posey and Molina, and Posey should get it. And maybe even Dickey gets some point, votes. But I think Cy Young should go to Dickey. Did he get the win last night? Does he have 21 wins now?
No, he had a no decision.
Oh, no decision. Okay.
Yeah,
So 20 game season. I think he gets the Cy Young.
And they said he's with a bad abdomen. He's got a pulled muscle in his stomach. So they said all season he's been pitching with a bad abdomen. And he still was 20-6, you know, with all those innings and leading a strikeout. So to me, R.A. Dickey.
Yeah, he was a horse. He was a horse. You know, so, you know, obviously you have that. I think in the National League, I love what Trout has done. But if Cabrera gets this triple crown, you just got to give it to him. I'm sorry. His team has made the playoffs. The Angels are out of it. And I do think, you know, different from the Cy Young, I think if your team doesn't make the playoffs, it's a lot harder to win the MVP. And so to me, I got it. And also the dramatic style, how in the last month, you know, the Tigers at one point were like, what, 6-7 back? And they just swarmed.
Yeah, on our first prediction show, they were 3 back with 15 to go. And, you know, we thought, or at least I thought that I always was waiting for the Tigers to make their move. And then I figured they just ran out of gas. So I thought they finally made it
in the last week and a half. I mean, give them credit. And Cabrera is a big part of it. And his stats and his homers
and
his ribbies. Yeah, they're meaningful.
Let me tell you a little bit about Cabrera, because I have an issue now with Jim Leland playing, you know, footsie with Cabrera and you know, taking him out of the lineup after 3 at bats.
Is it definite? I mean,
supposedly it's up to him. He might not play. He might play. First of all, we got to shout out the Boston Red Sox again. And Ted Williams, and we're not Red Sox fans, believe me. If there's a team I'm not a fan of, it's the Boston Red Sox.
Ted Williams.
Okay. I'll tell you why. I'll pull it all together. Don't worry.
All right.
Ted Williams was the last man in Major League Baseball to hit 400, and he hit 406 in 1941. So right before Pearl Harbor and, you know, World War II, the U.S. getting into World War II. But
that's
he
Teddy
was
baseball.
Hitting. Exactly. Teddy Baseball up peppering the Green Monster. He was hitting .3995. So if you round it up, it's 400 going into the last game of the season.
Yeah.
And they had a doubleheader. They had a doubleheader, though, right? So if you go, so let's say it's 400. If you go anything less than 400, which is hard, you know, it's not that hard, right? If you go 3 for 9, you could theoretically, you know, statistically, depending on how many decimal points, you could lose the 400, right? So my man Teddy Baseball said, no, I don't deserve to win it if I sit out the game. So he goes out there and in the doubleheader goes 6 for 8 and brings his average up from 3 you know, 0.3995 to 0.406. So that is how you need to do it. You need to win it on the
right.
field,
and
not
obviously
with Jim Leland protecting you and taking you
but
out of the game.
But I don't think Cabrera, I bet he'll play, and if it was up to him, I don't think he would sit. He's a great player, and he's a trooper, man. Look, he gave no beef. He, you know, they brought over Prince. He went to third base, lost some weight. He's had a great season, man. You know, give him credit. He's made adjustments. He's doing it, you know.
Yeah, Oakland just scored, by the way, so they're up 1-0 on Texas at the end of the first game.
This team is on fire. Moneyball Part 2. Brad Pitt, get ready for the sequel.
But let me tell you about the stats, though, for a sec. So I did the numbers. I had to go back to my high school math, and I did the numbers. And basically what happens is for the Triple Crown, for Miguel Cabrera to win the Triple Crown for the first time since, again, a Red Sox in 1967, Carl Yastrzemski, yes, to all you baseball fans. So Cabrera is up as follows. Cabrera is up by one homer over Josh Hamilton. So Hamilton would have to have two in order for Cabrera to lose the Triple Crown, right? Because on a tie, they'd give it to him. So that'll be determined right now in this Texas-Oakland game. So they'll probably know that before they go into, before the Tigers play tonight, because the Tigers are playing at KC at 8 o'clock. So they'll know whether or not Hamilton did anything on the home run front. He'd have to hit two. And then he's up 11 RBIs on Hamilton, which you're not going to get 11 RBIs in this game. That's a wrap. So the only question is the hitting, right? And he's up on Mike Trout, right? So I did some
rookie of the year.
I did some quick Ray and Tay. Yeah, the rookie of the year, but not the MVP. I did some quick Ray and Tay calculations. And back to high school math, right? Forgot about that for a minute. So if me, and this is why Miguel Cabrera should play, because A, I think he should win it on the field, and B, for Mike Trout to overtake Cabrera, so Mike Trout's at 324 right now, and Cabrera's at 330 right now. So for, or 331 if you round up.
Yeah, 331.
So for him to beat, so for Trout to beat Cabrera, let's say Cabrera goes 0-4. Trout would have to go 4-4. So that's the only real plausible scenario if Miguel Cabrera plays and Mike Trout plays that Mike Trout could overtake him. Miguel Cabrera goes 0-4, Trout goes 4-4. If Miguel Cabrera sits, which is the easy way out, right, because he'll know if Hamilton has beat him in home runs, and let's say Hamilton doesn't hit a home run. So if Miguel Cabrera sits, then Mike Trout would have to go 6-6 to pass him by percentage points to win the batting title. So the safe thing to do is to wait until the end of the Texas-Oakland game, and if Hamilton doesn't hit a home run, is to just sit it out and say it's almost impossible for Mike Trout to go 6-6.
The only way the guy should sit is if he's resting for the playoffs and he has a nagging injury.
Yeah, but
that's
they're
going to
get
2 days
off anyway.
Otherwise, you've got to play.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to get 3 days off, actually. And baseball, you know, it's all about timing and it's all about playing in games. So they actually don't want 3 days off. So play him, Jim Leland, play him. If you want to take him out to a standing ovation, you know, because he's locked up the Triple Crown, you know, you can do that. But
yeah, like let him get in
day,
a batter or two. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what? Listen, we're going to take a quick break and then get into, I believe we got an email or two, and then we'll finish up our Major League Baseball playoff preview and end of the season wrap up. We'll be right back. Ray and
Tay.
Yeah, man. So I believe you got an email.
Yeah, we got an email. We got Michelle. Shout out to Michelle in Philadelphia. We like the female, it's all about equal opportunity here. If you got a good question, shout us out. Again, with the Philly cheesesteak, Geno's and Pat's down there in Philadelphia.
Shout out to Quam Dog, my boy Quam, man. Last time I was out there, we went downtown and got some real good cheesesteaks down there in Philly, man. It was nice.
Yeah. Watch that cholesterol, but yeah, it's tasty, though. I give it up. It is tasty.
Oh, yeah.
Again, if you want to hit us up, it's Ray and Tay Today. So that's RaeAndTayTody. So it's Ray and Tay Today. That's at Gmail. That's at on Facebook. And that's on Twitter. So Michelle from Philly sends us, it's very apropos, actually, of what we've just been talking about. She says, if you were a GM and you had to build a team, would you build a team around Josh Hamilton, and these guys are all in their 20s, right? Josh Hamilton, Mike Trout, or Miguel Cabrera? I would throw one more in there, so no disrespect to Michelle. Let me add one more in there. Buster Posey, you know, a young stud catcher. So if you're building
right,
team,
and out of that group,
GM,
I think Cabrera is probably the oldest.
What do you
is he like 29?
Yeah, Cabrera's 29. Cabrera's
okay,
29,
so.
Yeah.
Wow, good question, Michelle.
Put on your GM hat. Think
well,
about
no,
it.
Well, no, I'm going to say this, right?
What do you got?
I definitely love catchers, so you know, part of me would be partial to Posey, but if I just want to think about pure dynamics. You know, someone being just a total dominant. I don't know, man. This guy in the playoffs, he hasn't won yet, but to me, Hamilton is incredible. He's a problem. I would have to go with Hamilton first and then Cabrera second because Cabrera.
Right. I have to check an error that I made. Hamilton is actually 31. So,
okay, yeah. I thought he was a little bit older because he missed a couple of seasons.
Yep.
So, for me, I still go with Hamilton and then Cabrera. I love Trout, but he just started. So, let's see if he can, you know, you got to do this for like 3-4 years. You know, we don't know if you're going to just drop off the face of the earth. So, I'm not ready to crown him Jigga Genius. You know, Chocolate Boy Wonder. Yeah, he's not Pete. Put it like this: he's not Pete Rock. Okay,
he's
not
he
Pete Rock.
But is he
you
CL Smooth?
He's not Pete Rock or CL Smooth. You know what I'm saying? You know, right now it's like he got one good album. He's Lord Finesse. You know what I'm saying? Lord Finesse is my man, but he only had one really good album, or Craig Mack. You know what I'm saying? You're not somebody pumping out 3, 4, 5 great albums. You're not Jay-Z. You're not Tribe, De La yet. You know, you just Lord Finesse or Craig Mack right now. You got a hot single. Everybody's pumping you up. You know, you rookie of the year. You platinum right now. But how could you really argue? I mean, but you could definitely say Buster Posey. I have no problem saying that. For me, I'm going to go with Hamilton and Cabrera second.
Okay. So just to recap all these kids' ages, right, so we get it right. So Trout is 21. Buster what it is right now. Posey is 25, Cabrera is 29, and Hamilton's 31. So obviously Hamilton's the oldest, and he has, you know, but he doesn't have that much wear and tear because he lost a few seasons.
No. He's a very young 31.
You know, it's funny because my gut instinct says Mike Trout because he's 21, and he is really a five-tool player. I mean, he's close to stealing 50 stolen bases, 30 homers, batting .325 at the ripe old age of 21. I mean,
that
this
is
guy is any place center field. This guy is the real deal.
So you're trying to tell me he's like Nas Illmatic?
I'm trying to tell you.
The first
Nasir
album?
Jones.
He's not Nasir
Jones,
the first album, Illmatic?
And Mike Trout might be a brothers from another mother.
Okay,
so,
I could accept that.
You know what? And I hate to do this to Josh Hamilton because, look, he's awesome. I mean, you can't go wrong with any of these guys. I guess number four on my list would be Buster Posey only because he plays that wear and tear position. So I can't start my team with a catcher because he's apt to get injured. And
right,
and then
also in the National League, he can't DH, so his career gets shortened.
Exactly.
Unless you're
going
to go put him in right field or first base, you know,
that's
his career gets shortened in the NL. So.
It's funny. So my gut instinct was Mike Trout because he's 21, and I might say Mike Trout. But here's the thing about Miguel Cabrera is I hope he's not on steroids. I don't think he is. There's no reason to think he is. He is just a big dude. You know, they say he used to eat all those arepas, and all of you, you know, South American folks, you know what I'm talking about, with the corn and the mozzarella cheese, and oh, it's good, fried up goodness. So,
yes,
so the thing is, he is just, he's like this generation's Manny Ramirez or Edgar Martinez. He's just a professional hitter. And the thing is, he's an assassin, and he probably... Because of the DH in the American League, I mean, they moved him to third base, which was, you know, which was shows that he still has some athletic ability and still has the ability to move a little bit, even for a really big dude. But he is just, and he hits to all fields. You know, he's doing this damage, 44 home runs in a crazy, you know, pitcher's park. I mean, they moved the fences in a little bit, but Comerica is not a great place for hitters, right?
And he did it's a pitcher's stadium. Yeah,
he did his damage in Miami, too, in you know, with the Marlins.
Well, look
he came
at,
up.
You know, so funny, just look at Granderson. Granderson leaves Detroit, and then he comes to New York, and he's like a power home run hitter.
He can't hit for average, but he can hit some home
who
runs.
Who can hit for average, but I'm just saying, like, his career took off in New York compared to, you know, just being in a pitcher's park all the time in Detroit.
Yeah, so I think Miguel Cabrera has many, many, many good years ahead of him. And the problem with Hamilton is you started to see some injuries, right? They moved him from center to left to try and protect him a little bit, the shoulders and the hamstrings and the injuries. I just think that a guy that's never and it's funny because you have to grow up and sort of mature. Like they had to pull the reins back on Josh Hamilton and tell him, you know, don't steal as much, don't be as aggressive on the base path. So Miguel Cabrera never really had speed. He was just an offensive machine. So to me, he's the type of dude that can go for 10 more years playing position baseball, and then for maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 years, he could be like a Frank Thomas type towards the end of his career.
Yeah.
Just DH.
Edgar Martinez and DH for a while.
Edgar Martinez, Frank Thomas. So he's
I don't think he does 10 years at position. I think he does 7 and 4.
You're probably right because the real position for him to play, if anything, is first base. And unfortunately for him, Prince Fielder's there, so they're probably sliding him over to. Yeah.
So I could see him retiring at 40 and doing, you know, 7 and 4, whether it's at third and then outfield and then 4 at DH. But he's going to be – he'll have some all-time stats. I think he's on a path, if he can continue somewhat of this level, he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, look, remember when he was 19 years old and he led the in 2003 when he led the Marlins over the Yankees. You know, we were like, who is this guy? This guy is awesome. And
awesome.
You know what? Awesome, baby. But I want to be Mike Trout's agent. Because think about, you're 21 years old. You're like the epitome of a five-tool player. You can't do anything wrong right now. You're the man. You're probably getting you're on some rookie contract.
Listen, you think about that in them contracts. You know, shout out to last night the documentary from your boy Corbett broke on Major League, you know, sports athletes, football, baseball, basketball. Obviously, football and basketball tend to have the most, but it was really sad to watch to see how guys from overspending, bad investments. You know, not, you know, losing homes, you know, taxes, all this different stuff from just having crazy financial issues and how cats are filing for bankruptcy and are just broke and cannot pay bills. And it was funny because they were talking about, you know, we joke around with Oakley and the car wash, he's been successful, but they were talking about car washes and all these different business deals and how cats just get gotten all the time. And it's sad, man. It's really sad. And, you know, unfortunately, it's weird because if you think about it, nobody announces, you know, Jeff at Wall Street that he makes $3 million a year. People know their salary, their contract, their schedule. They're walking targets in a way that no one else is. For someone to come up to you and basically try to, you know, get what you got, whether it's a woman, whether it's a criminal, whether it's a bad attorney, a bad lawyer, a bad financial advisor, investors, anybody, you're a target as an athlete from so
That's
many
true.
Different directions.
That's
you know,
true.
Let alone
and,
your own friends and family. It's really
friends
unfair.
And family. Right. That's and, usually what does you down, what does you in first is all your
friends.
Oh yeah,
friends no, definitely. But I'm just saying, look at because of the fact, if you think about it, really, there's no reason that we have to announce and give in such detail all their salaries. There really is no reason. And
Well, it's full disclosure. I mean, especially because it's a salary-capped environment. So I hear what you're saying. Like, why does it matter to me if Miguel Cabrera makes $10 million or $12 million or $15 million? Doesn't matter to me. But I hear what you're saying. And you know, it really is too bad. And I'm particularly disappointed in the athletes that are in the modern era, right? Because back in the days, you know,
yeah.
40s, 50s,
they didn't make 60s, that much.
70s, they didn't make – these guys had to have second jobs. You know, so if those guys in those areas, like Johnny Unitas was on that list of people that had to, you know, file for bankruptcy. He made probably more than the, you know, definitely made more than the average worker. But this day and age, in terms of the professional athletes, they're earning power directly from their sports. And then endorsed.
Yeah, you look at someone like Antoine Walker. Ugh.
I mean,
oh, and
really?
Gambling. Gambling is like the biggest thing, even on planes, Vegas. You know, Barkley said he feels that maybe he lost about $10 million gambling. That's
wow.
Crazy.
And lucky for Barkley, he has a way to make it because of his TNT career, and I guess he can still do autograph signings and people still want
commercials,
him.
And he made a lot of money in his career.
Well, and he made money, you know, in the 80s and the 90s when the salaries didn't, you know, skyrocket. Remember when John Conkak signed? They called him John Contract because he signed
yeah.
for $2.2 million a year. In you know in the mid 80s, so you know, but these guys nowadays are making $15 million. I mean, really? And you're going to go bankrupt, especially in the sports that have the guaranteed, like baseball and
right.
Wow, and basketball, those are guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, baseball and basketball are guaranteed contracts. With baseball, I mean, with the football guys, which is the roughest sport, and this is something Ray and I always talk about. These are the guys that should have a guaranteed contract and don't. I mean, it's really almost unfair. So, I mean, it's, you know, the football guys, they have the roughest way to go, you know?
Yeah,
they really
for sure.
Do.
It was just heartbreaking to see, you know, Lenny Dykstra and you know, Kenny Anderson and Derek Coleman and Johnny Unitas. And it really was in all sports. And all these guys, like you said, Antoine Walker – and the list goes on and on and on. I mean, it's just terrible. But you know what it is? I think – I don't want to get too psychological on you, but I think it comes down to human behavior, you know? Ultimately, you've got kids who have been stars and have had adults doting on them since they were 10, 11, 12, and they've always been told how great they were. So that's one dynamic. And then the other dynamic is they've got friends and family.
And they
that
surround themselves with these yes
them.
Men. That's the problem.
Exactly, and nobody, you know, slaps them up when they act stupid and go get like a $200,000 mink coat with some.
Well, you
should have
seen Andre Rison. He was talking about, you know, in a weekend going to the club, spending basically $15,000, you know, a night in a club with bottles. And they interviewed Leon Searcy, the lineman from the Steelers. Shout out to my Steelers, and just you know, talking about having to, you know, get the $5,000 bottle of cognac at the table, you know, and to have that or whatever, and I'm just, like, laughing because I'm like, yo, my, you know, I got some of those bottles saved up for my pops and stuff, so I know, you know, I know about them big bottles, man, and with the gold and all that stuff, so, but it's just crazy. Like, that's just, it's so irresponsible.
Yeah.
And then you've got the other guys who want to get the gold jewelry who don't have the contracts that these guys have, but they're trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, and they're only making, you know, $700,000-$800,000 a year, and they're trying to keep up with the millionaires. You know, and it's unfortunate. You know.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. But you know what? This cycle won't end. I don't know how the cycle ends. Right? The leagues. It's in their best interest for their players not to go bankrupt because then you got, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff happening off the court.
Got to be education, and they do. NFL does the rookie symposiums.
But
and
they don't listen, supposedly,
each sport
right?
Does it? No, you're right. I mean,
21, 22 year old kids don't listen. They're like, oh, you're just old and you're just bitter that I make more money than you because I'm a new school and all this revenue, like the NFL now crossing $9 billion in revenue. So, you know, a 40, 45-year-old player like a Chris Carter comes and tells them about his hardships and whatever. And while Chris is very engaging, I don't know that these kids listen, or some of them don't, right? The guys that eventually fall into trouble, they don't listen. And you can't babysit them, right? They're adults. They have their own money. I mean, unless you're Dez Bryant, where you get the Cowboys to force you to pay to have an escort. That's ridiculous. But, I mean, it just shows you that some of these cats do need that, though.
Hey, you know what's so funny? Shout out to our boy Zach, right? Zach Chasler. I sent him the thing for Ray and Tay, and he said, you know, dude, I would call in or whatever, but what I know about sports would fit in an Aniba's belly button. shout out to Zach out there at Cali, one of our
He's a writer. He's got those skills.
Yeah, man, growing up and stuff. So Zach's doing his thing. And, you know, shout out to all the people giving us a lot of love, man. It's really good. And, you know, we're just trying to, you know, give you something different with a little bit of, you know, sports and entertainment and just, you know, little edge and everything that, you know, you might get a little something from PTI and other shows, ESPN and WFAN and Fox Sports or whatever, but, you know, we think we got something unique and special here at Ray and Tay today at
blogtalk.com. For those listening to us live, we're at the top of the third. It's 1-1. The Rangers tied it up. So Brandon Moss doubled, and Drew scored in the first inning, and then Beltre had an RBI single in the third. So Ian Kinsler scored on that. So it's 1-1, Texas and Oakland.
All right. Hey, listen, I thought A-Rod last night, I mean, he hit a shot. You know, I know you were getting off the plane, so you might have missed it, but he hit a shot. It looked like it was gone. And old boy from Boston ran up and caught it, and it was just like, ouch, man. It was crazy. But, you know, hopefully A-Rod can get it going, and the Yankees can, you know, lock it down, man. You know, tonight.
Yeah, they need A-Rod to be confident like he was in 09. He had that big homer, that opposite field homer in Philadelphia. They need Mark Teixeira to, you know, at least drive in runs. I mean, his batting average is plummeting.
Well, listen, he needs a home run from my boy Herman over at Rehab Plus, who's in a fantasy baseball home run competition, and he's got Reynolds and Teixeira. So he's hoping that he was up by two. So he said he's hoping for Teixeira and Reynolds to bang some homers out on the last day of the season so he could win his fantasy baseball league.
Oh, okay, because most fantasy head-to-heads are over already, but okay.
Right. No, this is just a home run. It's a home run competition.
He has two guys, or how many guys does he have?
No, they have four, and you start three guys. So he's got Reynolds, Teixeira, Braun, and one other guy, but that's who's in the starting lineup today, Braun, Teixeira, and you know, and Reynolds.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But he's been doing good because Reynolds went on a tear a couple weeks ago with all those home runs against the Bronx. And we got a lot of Yankee fans out there listening. I know from high school, Christina Zapata, go Humanities, and my true big Bleacher fan, Yankee fan, Virginia Gonzalez over there from Lavelle. Shout out to her. I know she's checking it out. And Donna DeSetta. Big-time Yankee fans, man. So everybody's hyped up, man. And I know G-Money and our girl Kim Shea, they're all representing, and Jonna for the Yankees.
Yeah,
so
all
hope we do it.
The Boogie Down from the Bronx,
The Riverdale crew.
West side of the Bronx, yeah.
Well,
take the 4 train past Yankee Stadium.
Derek Jeter, baby. Do you take the 2 train? No, I take the 4 train, baby. Or maybe the D. You know, sometimes I get on the D train to go see Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez. That's my guy, man. I don't care what you say. He takes the drugs or whatever, but that guy, he's a Hall of Famer, man. Okay? Just so you know that.
Sure enough.
Oh, man. Well, listen, we had another great show. Look out for the Cardinals. Hopefully they win tomorrow night. And let's go Yankees.
Yeah. So, again, thanks for having us as part of your day. We really appreciate it. Ray and Tay today. Sports talk with friends. And, again, shout us out. Let us know. You know, we've got a couple of running segments that we do. We got a Where You At Wednesday. We didn't do it today because we have a lot of baseball to talk about. We've got a top five Friday. You know, your top five list on Friday. On Monday, we try to give you champs and chumps from the weekend. So if you've got any ideas, tweet.
Yeah, email us or give
us
a call. If you
can't, Facebook.
You can't catch us live, definitely email or tweet us your thoughts and stuff, and we'll get it in on the show.
Yeah, Ray and Tate today. Thanks for having us.
Talking sports with friends. See you Friday.
Niggas usually just start rapping after 4 bars. Niggas go in.
After 4 bars, gotta just go in. After 4 bars, gotta just go in. After 4 bars, gotta just go in. Come on, baby, just go in. After 4 bars, gotta just go in. After 4 bars, gotta just go in. After 4 bars, gotta just go in. Come on, baby, just go in.
I seen how you do with your lost ass crew. That's why I got the road map just for you. Hop it in your car, boat or plane. Can't save this low brain. So I guess you need some education, man. Your rhymes are so simple and plain. For you, just walking up the stairs is going against the grain. If I'm forced to spit pain, it ain't no T-Pain or no Lil Wayne or a rock chain. It's E-Complezy, man. The energetic enigma to step harder than a sigma. Roar like an omega, smoother than a kappa and an alpha later. So please don't be a hater, cause the E is much greater. And back in 04, I